Good morning, everyone. I'm Brad Johansson alongside my esteemed colleague, Box Miller. We are about in for the biggest one yet, number five.
No question about it. It's time to dig in and bow down at the pure sporting spectacle that is the Super Bowl of preaching. This year promises to be a thriller, and I'm telling you, I've already seen more in the way of rumors and innuendos and everything else. This has been the most eventful offseason in memory.
I'll tell you why it's been eventful offseason, because Brian Wells in the offseason, it goes back to last year when he created this alter ego of BW, and the problems that surrounded that have created more problems
Absolutely.
In the offseason. For more on that story, let's go to our sideline reporter in Solomon Wilcott. Sully?
Thanks, Brad. As many of you may remember, last year, Brian Wells made quite an entrance into the game. He arrived all dressed for success, pimped out, floss and fly, with his collar popped up. But this offseason, Brian got a little big for his britches. It all started 1 month after last year's Super Bowl loss to Brian Tome, when BW used an unlicensed sample from funk legend Freak Bass in his debut album, BW1. Soon afterwards, BW released its autobiography, Give Me the Damn Pulpit, angering many with outrageous claims that he actually helped the Apostle Paul to write the epistles.
That's just not how BW rolls anymore. That's just not how BW rolls.
BW's second album, BW2, a collection of duets with Kevin Federline, went absolutely nowhere, nearly bankrupting the artist. His next album, BW3, actually caused an avalanche of lawsuits from a famous chicken wing company.
BW's lost all his money. BW's not getting paid. Papa don't bring nothing home no more.
So you decided to go on one of those celebrity reality shows on VH1 and cash in on your rapidly fading popularity. Tell me, how did that go?
Yo, that didn't work out. You just show up and they don't tell you what show you're going to be on or nothing. Know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know what you're saying, but what show were you on?
Flavor of Love.
The series of unfortunate events has left BW disinterested in the game. In fact, reports from BW's camp says that the only reason why he's participating in this year's Super Bowl is due to contractual obligations. This past summer, things erupted into the most scandalous event of the year. A botched attempt hatched out of sheer desperation to eliminate his opponent, Brian Tome, with a lead pipe. While BW has been on a mission to completely destroy every shred of credibility still clinging to his hollow image, BT has been on a mission of his own, launching a veritable crusade against a condition he says has gone untalked about and undiagnosed for far too long. Wow, lucky for you, Freak Bass was there. Now, Brian, you're looking at this footage for the very first time. What are some of your thoughts?
Well, Solomon, the main thing that I'm thinking is I just feel bad for the guy. He's obviously got a complex about his height. He's wearing clothes that puff him up and make him look bigger. And I think there's some emotional stuff he's dealing with that undetected could really hurt him. And I just feel for him.
Now, that hardly sounds like the Brian we all know.
Some people have been noticing that, Solomon, and I think that's a result of finally getting a diagnosis of a unique condition I've been dealing with and trying to grow through that.
Brian's condition occurred one day when he was reading one of his wife's magazines, then completed a self-survey which led to a self-diagnosis of a disease that he now calls menopause.
70% of men over the age of 40 experience menopause, or at least menopause-like symptoms. The result is a man who's no longer a man, Solomon. An aversion all of a sudden to red meat, not wanting black coffee, but taking herbal teas with a vitamin twist to it. They start asking for directions where they're driving. They actually start putting the seat down when they leave the restroom. They start doing things they would have never dreamed of doing. Previously, maybe they were an athlete, maybe a professional athlete. They used to be active, used to be kind of manly. And now all of a sudden, all they do is talk about sports. They put microphones in people's faces, and they don't actually do anything. They just talk about it and want to be around people who are impressive. These are the kind of things I'm talking about. And
including even 8-hour marathons of the Gilmore Girls. When I started enjoying that, that's when I knew I had an issue.
Are there any treatments for this condition?
Well, that's the interesting thing. I've been looking, and there's not much out there, but I've got a customized plan that I've been working on because I'm on the forefront of this.
Tell me why.
Well, I think people aren't dealing with it, and so what I've had to do is find an athlete to emulate myself after and to learn from him.
Was that maybe a Lance Armstrong type?
No, better than that. Rocky Balboa. I got on my own regimen. It includes extra amounts of Path Blue Ribbon. It includes working out with free weights, not the Nautilus stuff. It includes peeing intentionally with the seat down. It includes doing things that some people think that men shouldn't do, and yet I do them.
Well, Brian, this was very interesting. How do you think it will affect your performance in the Super Bowl?
Well, I think it will be a defensive game this year, and I have to take into account my condition. I can't go out there and just be all gung-ho and fired up and getting all sweaty and stuff, because then I might get really sweaty and bothered, and I could have a relapse. I can't do that. Plus, with these really nice, shiny blouses they gave us, I got to take care of this out there. But I do know it's an important game, so I'm going to go out there. I'm going to give it my best. I'm going to give up my best for all of those who are suffering in silence, for those who feel like manhood has passed them by. They feel like their best days are behind them. I'm saying, no, there's not. Men, you can believe. You can believe in yourself. There's a testosterone future for you. This one's for you, men.
Cut me, Mick. Cut me.
Thanks, Solomon. Brad, we haven't even kicked off yet. I think it's safe to say this year's game is shaping up to be one for the ages. And before we do the coin toss, I mean, let's break down the keys to the game.
All right, well, let's start with Brian Wells. We've seen the lunacy that he's had in the offseason. He's done the writing the books. He's put the albums together. He's even started his own clothing line. Basically, he's done everything but challenge Rachel Ray to a bullcrap bake-off. I mean, the problem is with Brian Wells, he doesn't focus on the game. If he's not going to come to win this one, he might as well pack up his Barbies, go home and play with Mommy, because Brian Wells doesn't have the game. Brian told me he may be a little misguided.
Right.
He comes to win.
Well, he's coming to win, but he has to maintain his edge. I mean, he's been more emotional lately, and some people said unstable.
I mean, unstable. All
you have to do is show an old family photo. His lip starts quivering, and he falls apart faster than Peyton Manning used to in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, it sounds crazy, but the guy needs to remember Rocky, because in his mind, he really believes Rocky is a real-life story of a man close to his own age who overcame adversity.
Yeah.
Now, if he can hold on to that, as crazy as it sounds, it might be the key to the game.
It could be the key. Well, let's get right to it. Let's go to the Baba India Curry coin toss. But before we get to that, we'll have the vacant building across the street that used to be a crappy steakhouse kickoff. But you know what, first, ladies and gentlemen, let's first take a quick commercial break.
Super Bowl V is brought to you today by the Downtown Cincinnati Banks Project. Coming soon since 1999. A 24-hour friendly urban neighborhood with residential housing, retail stores, restaurants, and entertainment. The Banks Project. Give us a year, we'll take a decade. And then another year. And maybe a couple more. And by the Cincinnati subway system since 1912, providing Cincinnatians with a great place to get arrested trying to get into. The Cincinnati subway system. It's there. Try and find it.
Well, Brad, we're about ready to begin this game. Are you ready? Well, let's go down on the field for the introduction of today's starting lineup.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing today's starting lineup, the AFC champion, Brian B.W. Wells. Now introducing the NFC champion, Brian Toe.
back. Please rise and join for the singing of the national anthem. Our own Crossroads Grammy Award winner, Miss Denise Gonzalez!
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air. That our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Or the
before you sit down.
Hey there. How are you?
All right, it's time to go down for the coin toss. For that, we head to today's head official, Mr. Reverend Pastor David Russell.
Nice pants, Dr. Smooth.
All right, guys. Thank you. Hey, let's act like we've been here before. Okay, you know the rules. Solid message points will give you 7 points. Something worthy of consideration will give you 3. We'll change possession after each score. And I will be throwing flags for stories that drag on and on. I'm watching you. BW will call the flip. What are you going to call?
What?
BW calls heads.
Oh, jeez. Message through the pimp.
BW is called heads. It is, in fact, heads. What would you like to do?
BW will receive.
BW is elected to receive in the first half, which means Brian Tome will kick off and retain possession of the pulpit at the beginning of the second half.
All right. Wells is going to receive. Tome will kick off. We can only hope at this point he doesn't pull a groin on this one. And we are underway.
Oh, great catch.
Brian Wells.
Brian, what is...
What is he doing? Oh, Wells, your turn to...
Man, I'm stupid tired.
What's up with the umbrella fella?
I can't do this.
Mr. Wells says he's very excited to be here today.
Oh, gosh. He's phoning it in.
Yo, dog, I was out late. I was out late, man. I need to crash. I need
Boss,
to tell
I don't know if I can do it. I'm good at carrying umbrellas.
You know, he's got to throw a flag.
He got a flag. You saw it coming.
Are you kidding me? That is a delay of game for phoning it in. That results in loss of possession.
Oh, a turnover. We got a turnover to start this whole thing. Umbrella fella's got to go. Brian Tone's going to get the ball.
And you just wasted all these minutes here.
Oh, waste of minutes as well. Tone's going to get a chance.
Yeah, that wasn't pretty to watch. I mean, Wells has got to do better than that. He doesn't seem ready to, you know, bring his B game. He doesn't have an A game.
Mm.
Let's pray. God, thank you for today and the opportunity to have fun and in the process learn a little bit and come closer to you. That's what we're hoping happens. Amen.
What a quick prayer.
We're going to talk today about the four phases of change. The four phases of change. All of us are in one of these phases right now, whether you know it or not. The phases are the blahs, the break, the blues, and the blessing.
Oh, geez, I've heard this thing like three times. He goes through this. Here, you're going to do the blah. The okay. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. And then I'm going to tell you, blah, 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 blah.
You know, there are many times that I would send and debate you on different points of the game, but this time you're right. I'm going to check emails because I won't miss anything.
Yeah. And this happens in the story of how God interacts with the nation of Israel. And these principles, I believe, are seen in everybody's life who wants to change and come closer to God in the life that He wants for you. So the scene of the setting is this. Moses, a.k.a. Charlton Heston, he gets his vision from God that he is going to go to his nation, the Israelites, his fellow Jews, and lead them out of captivity. They've been in bondage to the nation of Egypt.
Was that from the Book of Hollywood?
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from.
So he goes to Pharaoh and says, this is what's going to happen. Pharaoh says, oh, really, you think so? Well, just because you asked, I am going to now increase the quota that all the slaves are supposed to produce with the bricks, and I'm going to take away the straw and the mud. They have to get it for themselves. Here's how Moses is now processing this. Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? What's Moses saying here? Moses is saying here, maybe the way things used to be, the status quo, was the way things should be. This is phase one, the blahs. It's just the way things are. There's not a lot of excitement. There's not a lot of real bad stuff. Just kind of in the middle. But there's stuff that bothers you every once in a while. Let's say you're in deep credit card debt. And it doesn't bother you too much until the bills come. And then you get paid in 3 days. You're okay. But this keeps happening every month. That's called the blahs. Let's say that you've been dating somebody for a while and it's really not going anywhere. You're not getting a lot of encouragement or enthusiasm out of the whole thing, but you got somebody to watch the Super Bowl with. You are in the blahs. Let's say you're married and you've got kids and you're just always hoping your spouse, if you're married to your spouse still, is doing the stuff with the kids because you're really tired of the kids and you don't really want to learn how to encourage them, build them up, or discipline them. You're kind of tired of the parenting thing. You are in the blahs. The blahs is the place where you are. There's really no reason to go forward, but there's no reason to really stay where you are. There is no change until you recognize that you are in the blahs.
Oh, this is strong.
Yes.
Nothing blah about that. That's 7 points.
Yeah, okay.
Touchdown.
Tom is on the board.
That was impressive. I tell you what, he brought it right there.
Now Wells is going to have to come up. You know what? Maybe these magazine things for Tom, you know, like reading his wife's magazines, are a real good thing. Have you ever feel like hot and cold at the same time?
No. Why?
A friend of mine was asking me if you knew anything. Let's get back to the game.
Blahs are a place we all find ourselves. We all find ourselves. But if we're going to be a people of change, a people of growth, it can't stay there. You see, there's even a more critical place in any phase of change that we have in our life that we have to get to. And we see that with the nation of Israel. We see that here in Exodus as we pick it up in Exodus 12, verse 40. They've been in captivity for a long time in Egypt. It says, now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. They had been in the blahs for a long time. But now this is it. This is the moment. This is a critical defining moment in their time. And it's a defining moment that we all come to, and sometimes we don't recognize it, that the place that takes us out of the blahs is the break. In every part of change in our life, we need to recognize that there comes a point where we have to break. It's a defining moment, and it's a crisis for a lot of us. For a lot of us, it's more of a crisis than being in the blahs. And it's harder to take than being in the blahs, because for a lot of us, it's how we tend to think about change. See, we tend to think about, yeah, I want to be a person of change. I want to be a person of growth. But we tend to think that what that means is I'm going to have change because I'm going to have some positive things that I can add to my life. And so all change is finding positive things and layering them onto my life. When the fact is, almost all change comes about because, first of all, we delete something. First of all, we take something out of our life, and we don't like that kind of math. We don't like this addition by subtraction. We think that change doesn't have to involve painfully giving up anything. Change can always involve something nice and layering on. It doesn't work like that. You know, and so for instance, we'll say, well, you know, this is going to be the year that I get into shape. And so I'm going to hit the treadmill 3 times a week, but we're not willing to put the Krispy Kreme down long enough to do so. It's not just adding something, we need to delete something. Or we say, you know what, I'm going to get my financial life in order, but I'm not going to stay away from the mall in the meantime. Or we say, yeah, I want a relationship, I want a real healthy relationship without all the baggage and without all the whacked out expectations and all the pain and all that kind of stuff. I want that real kind of relationship, but we don't want to keep our hands out of our date's pants in the meantime.
Oh, hey, whoa.
Children present.
He wants to say it again, doesn't he?
Don't do it.
And you know what? We don't talk about anything in here that your 9-year-olds aren't talking about on the school bus. Change for all of us, we need to recognize, means coming face to face with it and realize that it doesn't work like just kind of adding something. We will never have change without breaking something first. And the challenge for us is when we break from things, we often step into the unknown. And sometimes our known misery is more comfortable than the unknown that change brings. But if we're going to be people of change, people of growth, we've got to learn to embrace the discipline of subtraction. We have to be disciplined enough to subtract from our lives as part of this journey of change. And it's something that we all have to come to grips with, just like the nation of Israel did, just like the lessons that they had to learn as they were wandering around by Mount Sinai learning those lessons as well.
Oh, I think he broke.
And a flag comes out.
I was wondering if visuals don't catch that.
It's not Sayonara, it's Sinai.
That was close enough. Close enough. All right.
I never thought that I'd have to make this call for you specifically. But that's a fumble for a blatant mispronunciation. In actuality, Sayonara is Japanese for goodbye, little girl. You did, in fact, mean Sinai. Possession.
All right. Second turnover. We all know what happens with turnovers in the Super Bowl. They cost you the game.
Sayonara. Right. You often never recover from that.
Did you hear that?
What a cheap shot.
Sayonara. Little smack talk from Brian Tome.
Yes.
Wow. Wells. He just did not come with it today. He looks fat, too.
Yeah. That's an issue with him, LeBlake.
One of the reasons why we do the Super Bowl service every year, maybe we won't do it next, maybe we'll change and won't do it next year, but one of the reasons why we don't do, or we do it every year, is because there's a blase that happens if you just come to Crossroads and do the same old, because it's kind of a routine. Okay, a couple songs beginning, little announcements, inspirational video while offering bags passed, half decent message, and nice song at the end where people pray. And you can get kind of get this thing where it's the blase. Some of you, you don't go to church at all. It's your first time here ever, or the first time church in your life, and you're kind of feeling shaken up already because this is out of your routine. We all need something. We've got to break from the things that we know, the blahs, but there is a definitive break. I meet people that think that simply wanting to grow is growth. Simply having emotional thoughts about God is getting us closer to Him. Simply intending to make changes is somehow honoring to God. And it's not. How you feel means zero. What you decide to do means zero. It's how you break. It's how you turn away and walk. And that's what that passage said. 430 days, they broke. They actually got to a place where they changed. They went to a new place. This is critical. You have to walk, take definitive steps in order to break, in order to move. There is no change without breaking.
Wow.
Wow.
There's nothing broken about that. That's 7 points now. Brian's
always come with it.
First and ten.
This is impressive.
Well, I'm going to have to step it up. He's going to have to come big. And I'm talking about a guy who struggles at Kings Island with the signs that you got to be this tall to ride this ride.
It's a challenge for him indeed.
What?
Need a footstool?
I just want to remind you that I have a microphone too, all right?
Really?
You
hadn't noticed.
Yeah. Well, do you know what it's like? Do you know what it's like trying to do this down here? All this going on. Oh, yeah, you sit up there and you kind of commentate and everything. But to be in the game, it's totally different. I'd like to see you try to do this sometime. I'd like to see you try to do just sit up there. Yeah, I think you'd find out it's a whole different deal down here.
Whole different deal.
Yeah. I'd come down and do what you do.
I'd like to see. Are you inviting me to come down? I would like to see you try.
Are you inviting me to come down?
No.
You inviting me to come down? I'll come. Matter of fact, because I didn't think you'd bring it, I got notes. I'll come down.
Be careful what you ask for.
Come on, let's go. Bring it on. Let's go.
That's nice. That's really nice. Get out of here. Give me a prayer. You want to do this?
Why don't you go try and do that up there?
All right, Scarecrow. You want to play ball? That's fine with me. I can do that too. Sure.
How's that going for you?
That's just fine, thank you.
That's what I'm talking about!
Brad! What are you doing?
I'm coming, Box. I'm coming. Amateur hour's over.
Good luck with him.
I'm here for
you. Listen. Here's a little advice from someone who's been doing this a while, okay? Just take it easy at first. Get rid of the umbrella. Start slow, lay low, learn, and get your hand off my suit.
Got it, Box. Got it.
You all right?
No. It's actually quite a turn of events, I got to tell you. Johansson has got to step up now that he's called you out.
Okay, this guy walks into a bar.
That's halftime. Thank goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, halftime, the score is Tone 14, Wells nothing, and, well, I guess Johansson nothing.
Whoa, Nelly Box, I tell you, this is a humdinger. We got ourselves a humdinger. He's going to have to learn that he's going to have to respect that onion or it's going to make him cry. Johansson's going to have to step up, Mr. Sports Authority. He's going to have to say, I am not going to pay a lot for this muffler.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go, because it's time for the 5th annual Super Bowl of Preaching halftime show. Put your hands together for the Moeller High School Marching Band.
Interruption down there. You all sound really great. Really, I mean, really, you do. I just mean we need something more. This is the Crossroads Halftime Show, right? Right. So let's see. What do we need? I know. We need more drums. More drums and some guitar. Any players in the house? Well, come on up. That's what we need. Yeah. Guitar and drums. Okay. Well, that's cool. But I really think we need something like, we need a leader. Yeah, I mean, I used to be a leader, but I must send my protege. Do you know who that is? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Freakman!
One, two, one, two, three, four.
Heavy as it needs to be. And now you're here, you want to know, when the genetically mutated man will stop the show. You get the space, I got my face. Now we get connected with the human race. I know what you want to say. Now you're gonna hear what I want to hear. It's been too long, I can't explain. Something's running wild all through my brain. I experimented with low end frequency, and it turned me into something that I couldn't foresee. My fingers move with the old desire. Since the day I heard, I say I wanna take you higher. In the meantime, all I hear you say is freaking turn it up, I wanna hear you play. hasty suit. Y'all sold it to inspire. Wave your hands above your head and dance until you dream. To start a new reality. And we'll call it the supply.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up one more time for the Moeller High School Marching Band. Cincinnati's own funk legend, Bootsy Collins. And Crossroads' own Freak Bass. All right, in just a minute, bags are going to be passed down the aisles and some people will be putting money in them. And if you're like me, my first time here was 1 year ago today, and I let the bag pass by, and that's okay, but now I've learned that people are happily donating because this money helps to do a lot of things around here. Free coffee, help build the biggest AIDS hospice in South Africa. The largest after-school program in Greater Cincinnati, so if you're not comfortable, don't put any money in. But remember, kick back, relax. The second half of the Super Bowl of preaching is coming right after these commercials.
Are you a man, but you're turned off by monster trucks? Have you ever watched the bridges of Madison County? Have you forgotten how to scratch yourself? If so, talk to your doctor, because you could be one of the 10 million men suffering in silence from a condition known as menopause. Menopause afflicts men over the age of 40 and is one of the leading causes of depression, the loss of manliness, and the popularity of movies starring Owen Wilson. But there is hope. Girly Man No More. Girly Man No More has been scientifically and clinically proven to increase manliness. Talk to your doctor to see if Girly Man No More is right for you. Girly Man No More should only be used as directed by your physician. Possible side effects include death, sudden loss of limbs, temporary disembowelment, rage, clammy hands, hairy palms, hearing voices, busy signals, extreme attraction to squirrels, and fear of elevators. Girly Man No More is not for men who are pregnant or who may become pregnant. Do not take Girly Man No More if you have hands or if you are currently taking any other medicine. So talk to your doctor and call now for a free trial. Girly Man No More. Also available in a topical cream. But that's just wrong.
All right, it's almost time to kick off the second half. But before we do that, let's check in with our own Solomon Wilcox, who I think is caught up with Brian Tone. Solly?
Hey, Brian, hey, things are going really well for you out there. What are your plans for the second half?
Now, I'll tell you what, my plans start with having this stuff. This stuff really works. Look at that stuff. Now, I can feel it coursing through my veins. It just gives me what I need. So, I'm going back out there. One down. The little guy, he was never going to be a problem. He's gone. He can wear as much fur as he wants. Gone. Nothing. Now I got the big guy, or he thinks he's a big guy. You know, Solomon, everyone sits out there every week thinking they can do what I do. They can't. They can't. They think I'm boring. They think I'm over the top. They think it's easy. He's finding out right now, and it ain't so easy. The tall, skinny guy needs to go back to critiquing and not giving it, because he can't give the goods the way the pro can. That's me. So I got to go out there, go to work, and get it done for the American people and every man.
Woo! Looks like the old Brian Tome is back in box. It should make for an explosive second half as we send it back to you.
Hey, thanks, Solly. I don't even know if that stuff is legal. I got to be honest with you. But Johansson had better come to play this half because Tome looks ready to close out the game.
Well, I tell you now, he looks ready. He looks a little crazy. You know. Speaking of crazy box,
not your turn yet. Anyway, the players are taking their places, and Johansson will get the ball to start
the second half.
Well, and let me just say, Box, I know Brad Johansson. I've worked with Brad Johansson. He's no Chuck Mingo.
Yeah, you left him with me. Thank you.
Oh, come on, Brad. You want me on this wall. You need me on this wall. What is wrong with you? I'm just riffing.
What?
We're riffing, right? We're riffing.
What is that?
What'd you do at halftime? If you're here for the first time, you're going, why did I accept this invitation? Why didn't I get out at halftime? I could have gone by now. I appreciate you staying. For those of you who have been here before, you're going, oh my gosh, Johansson's going to preach. I don't even like the guy on TV, and now he's got to be in my team. I appreciate you staying. At halftime, we all get there. Some of us are approaching halftime. Some of us are past halftime. Some of us are in halftime. But once you get to halftime, we all have to assess, deal with the feelings, and then be honest about them. I mean, you got to be honest about them. I'm all right with you feeling that way, but then you've got to sit and be patient. Listen to that little voice in your head telling you what to do. Just don't worry about what's to come. Matter of fact, I live by this. Do not worry about tomorrow, because today has enough worries of its own.
Wow, what an impressive quick drive.
Yeah. That's 7 points for Johansson.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Challenge on the plate.
Yeah. At the protest, he didn't, you know, Jesus said that. He didn't say it. He didn't even give Jesus credit for his
That's
own
true.
Stuff.
That's true. He didn't make that up. He stole Jesus'
That's plagiarism.
Line. I think they're going to have to review this play.
I don't think this
Stop
play is up
Stop stealing from
review.
Jesus, my team says.
The play is not eligible for review. The call yes. on the field stands. Yes. That is 7 points for Joe Hansen.
That's a touchdown.
And as a result, Brian Tome, you lose a timeout for not remembering the rules of the game that you made up.
Well, I tell you what, that's a big play, but regardless of who first said it.
Yeah, and you know, they say Brian reads his Bible every day. We're not seeing it right now.
I don't think he's seeing it either. He may need glasses.
I think he's intimidated by the height difference.
So there is this break, and you would think that after the break, everything is fine. You've been in the plies, you go with the break, you think everything is okay. And you would think this is sort of the moment with the nation of Israel. They break. They get out 430 years a day. They break. They're in the clear. They have incredible mountaintop experience. There's a parting of the Red Sea. They cross the sea, all stuff. But then they start grumbling. Then all of a sudden they realize things aren't that great. Here's what it says in Exodus 16. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. These folks are in what's called the blues. Phase three is the blues. And the blues is sort of the in-between stages when you're not experiencing any of the benefits of the change, but you're going through the withdrawal of the things that you've broken from. And these guys have selective memory. They're starting to wish that they were in slavery because they have a little bit of difficulty. They go, oh no, at least back in slavery we had free cafeteria food and everything was fine. And hello, you were in bondage, you were in slavery, you had no freedom. You couldn't be you. You couldn't be who God wanted you to be. Yet they selectively remember the things that they had part of the blahs. You will go through the blues if you want to change. You'll go through a period where you'll maybe have had to leave people who were in the blahs but didn't want to leave, and now you're on your own. You're in the blues. You'll go through a period where things don't get easier right away. They get harder. They get harder. They get more difficult. You're now in a place where you haven't been before. You start second guessing. Every single change in the middle feels like failure. It feels like it's not worth it. Three steps forward, two steps back. But three steps forward and two steps back is still one step forward. You have to understand that the blues come with change. You know, I'm not... I know I could say some more stuff here right now and I could always kind of fill air. That's part of what people like me do. But I'm feeling like I don't know how to close this out. So I'm actually going to punt. What? I'm going to punt this point right now, and I'm going to punt this back to Brad. And
looks like Tom is playing a possession game, gambling that Johansson
punt.
Won't be able to score.
I'm dead serious. Punt.
You know, that's just not like Tom to give up the pulpit. I mean, I managed to pry it out of his hands about once a month, and that's a minor miracle.
The fact that you've gotten it twice is a minor miracle.
What's your question? What's in the box? What's in the box? Israelites had the same question too. Now the Israelites thought they knew what was in the box. They opened the box and said, I know what's in the box. The box is freedom. Freedom sucks. Well, maybe there's more in the box. I mean, seriously, aren't we all after freedom? We're in bondage from something. And at some point, we got to check. Bob Buford wrote the book Halftime. I recommend it to everybody. 20s, 30s, 40s, especially you guys who are going through this, striving for that success. He talks about this. We go through that first half. And we go through the first half looking for success. Carrying the box way out here. We don't look in the box. We already know. We figured out the way to success, and we've got it all in here. And then we get to halftime, and we go, you know what? This success stuff, how come I'm not feeling it? I don't have it. I mean, maybe at some point I got to stop and take a look and check in the box. So I get to halftime, I check the box. Local 12, yeah, that's me. I'm on TV. I knew I was going to do it. Third grade, I was interviewing kids in a sandbox. I knew I was going to be on TV. That's what I was going to do. 20 years old. I'm a junior in college, and I am on TV anchoring the sports. I'm the man. But I wanted more than that, you know. So I moved to Peoria, to Lansing, Michigan, to San Luis Obispo, California, to Las Vegas, Nevada, out to Cincinnati. Was only going to stay here 2 years. I've been here 15 years. 15 years. No, that wasn't good enough. I had to be more of the man. I wanted to do play-by-play. You got any experience? Yeah, I got experience. I would turn down the sound on my TV, invite my neighbor over. We'd call a game together. I got experience. Give me the job. All right, that was good enough. I got the Miami job, did a little Miami game, did some UC games, and now I am the voice of the Xavier Musketeers on TV on Fox Sports Net. Yeah, I'm the man. But I wanted more than that. I wanted to be one of 32 guys around the country who called the game for their team, got a chance to say, touchdown, Rudy. Voice of the Cincinnati Bengals. Yeah. Yeah, that was me. But you know what? In the midst of that, you got to have all the good picture together. So I wanted to have a family. I got married. Got my boys. Jordan and Connor. Got my boys. Yeah, it all looked good. I was the man. I had it all together. Everything in the box, I knew what was going on. But because I was focusing on this, I was an addict. Ooh. He's an addict. Okay, he's on TV, so what's he addicted to? Blah, blah, blah. Alcoholic. He's an alcoholic. You know what? I never even had a drink until I was of legal age. I saw people get drunk, thought they looked stupid, didn't want to be like that. I wanted to be in control. So no, it wasn't alcohol. Ooh, he smoked the weed. No, I didn't do that. I never have tried marijuana. Okay, tougher stuff. He liked the coke. No, I never got into drugs. I wanted to be so much in control that was never a problem for me. Chase the ladies. Yeah, I like to chase the ladies because they always brought me attention. I got accolades. Everybody loved me. Everybody had to love Brad. I was addicted to Brad. That was my addiction. It wasn't filling me up. As a matter of fact, it was tearing me apart. It caused me a divorce once I got to Cincinnati and I got all this stuff in the box. And my wife wasn't from Cincinnati. She was from Peoria, Illinois, making all of those trips while we followed Brad. She said, I'm done. And I'm taking the boys with me to Peoria. Cool, I actually said. You know, because it's all about me. They're getting in on my game. And as that left, I started to feel the emptiness and the blues. It's all gone. My boys are gone. It was devastating. I realized that that was really what I wanted. And now it's all gone. So you know what? It couldn't have been me. It had to be somebody else. So I got to figure out another way. Let me get another one. So I found her, that Colleen. Now, she was much better than I was. I found somebody who had lived a life
followed God, wanted to be with God, did things the right way, always thought about other people before herself. If I got somebody to make me better, I would inevitably be better. I can't even say inevitably. But it wasn't fixing it. As a matter of fact, we couldn't make it work at all. More adulation, more job, more time at work. I couldn't work any harder. I couldn't work any more jobs. I was getting paychecks from five different areas and still I wasn't getting filled and she wasn't getting filled. As a matter of fact, Colleen would tell you, I became her God. She had the wrong thing in the box too. She just wanted to do everything to please me and it still wasn't pleasing me enough. I could not get enough. But I had one more thing in the box. I knew, you know what? She's not working either. There must be something else. And we're about ready to get divorced. Then she came along. Little Riley. Yeah, Riley came along, but you know what? During that time, it was a horrible pregnancy. And we knew Riley was going to come out and we'd probably end this thing. We'd have to go our separate ways, just figure out how to do it. I mean, I'd done it once before. It doesn't work. I'm going to have to find a better way to do it. And while I'm going through all of these blues, that one last thing that was in the box, well, see, I had accepted Christ back when I was 16 years old, so maybe Christ had to have be a better answer. I went to Brian Tome because I'd come to this church earlier on when I was back at the elementary school, but we'd gone away from church. And I told Tom all of the things that were going on in my life. I was a dump truck. I confessed everything. I said, here's who I am. I'm lost. I don't think that I can fix this one either. He invited me into some automatics. Get into an A-team. An A-team, what's an A-team? Bible study. Guys that will hold you accountable. You confess who you are. Each week we get back together. 6:30 in the morning on Monday. 6:30 in the morning on Monday. Do you know what I do for a living? I'm up at 1 o'clock at night on Sunday. Okay, I'll do it. Wow, this is tough. This is really tough. I'm not feeling the nirvana. You got to stick with it. Somebody else grabs me and says, you know what? I'm seeing some of the changes in you. Let's start a Wednesday study. So we start a Wednesday study at 7 o'clock in the morning. Come on, guys. Give me a convenient time. All right, I'll do it. So each morning, Monday and Wednesday, get up to have guys hold me accountable, hold them accountable, change our lives. Where are we directing? Who's going in the box? Christ is going in a box. And all this time, my wife is going, why is everybody still patting you on the back? Saying all these things are good. I did all the right things. I'm not feeling good. We're working through this. Christ is back in the box. Why can't I have something good? I guess change doesn't come without the blues.
That was an impressive drive.
That's strong. And that's 7.
Yeah, we did this whole script and we kind of did this and all of a sudden we realized, okay, at this point some other stuff's going to happen. We realized we need to like crank back the programmatic, compete against one another right now and just endorse being on the same team because we're all trying to drive the same point home with everybody. So Brad's going to come up because you don't want to hear from me anymore anyway. So we're going to bring Brad up. And I also noticed, just listening to you, the dude has never like preached before ever, especially four times in a row. Your voice is starting to get it, isn't it? So there you go. I got you. I got you covered.
Thanks, Ben.
There you go. All right.
Quitter. Don't drink the water, Brad. Don't drink the water.
If we're going to get through the blues, we got to go to the blessings. Now, God deals with us in two ways. First way is grace. And this is what Colleen was complaining about. You're getting grace. You've been a crap guy all your life, and you're getting grace. And things are still going well for you. And God will do that in so many people's lives, and you're going, why does this person keep getting all this stuff? And I guarantee he doesn't deserve it. I guarantee if we all got what we deserved, we'd be in serious trouble. The grace also comes with forgiveness. God will give us grace, and if we ask for that forgiveness, it will come immediately, but the people that we stand around may have to struggle through that just a little bit more. And then God will deal with you in another venue. Injustice. Justice, justice, justice. It is, we reap what we sow. I thought I was so good at hiding all of the other stuff. I mean, I had really played the game good, because you don't ever get a chance to choose the rules. You can pick the game that you're playing, but you don't get a chance to pick the rules. You are going to be under authority. Whose authority do you want to be under? Eventually, someone will see, and you will reap what you sow. The only authority that I ever found a way to find freedom, to find peace, is by submitting and giving it all up to God. If you let it all go, the paradox is you get all the freedom back. My daughter, now 4, about 8 months ago, she was 3, she just turned 4. Give you an idea of my daughter. She about 8 months ago, she developed two imaginary friends, Caitlin and Rita. I don't get to see Caitlin a whole lot. I hear about Rita all the time. She's running and going, "I'm beating you, I'm beating you. Who are you beating?" Rita's running with me. She sat on my wife's lap about 8 months ago, and she goes, "Mom, Rita needs our help." Okay, how does Rita need our help? And she says, "Mom, I'm speaking metaphorically." Just to give you a little background on my daughter, as I was preparing for this message, she brought me this book, which I'd never seen. "May You Grow in Grace, A Welcome for Your New Baby." It was from my mom. She turned the page, handed it to me, said, "Dad, I want you to read this to me. Message from God. When God wants an important thing done in the world, or wrong righted, He goes about it in a very singular way. Doesn't release His thunderbolts or stir up His earthquakes. He simply has a tiny baby born. Perhaps in a very humble home, perhaps of a very humble mother. And He puts the idea or the purpose into the mother's heart. And she puts it into the baby's mind. And then God waits. The great events of the world are not battles and elections and earthquakes and thunderbolts. The great events are babies. For each child comes with a message that God is not yet discouraged with man, but is still expecting goodwill to become incarnate in each human life." My daughter. We are now experiencing some of the blessings of what God can do in your life if you submit to the authority and change what's in the box. This is the only thing that goes in now. This other stuff, it's important. But it goes around with priorities. That Jesus Christ come first and always first. George Bernard Shaw once said, "There are 2 sure ways to unhappiness. One is not getting what you want. The other is getting what you want." If you decide that you have the moment to sit down and open it up, you may be frightened by what you find in the box. Fear is the absence of love. So reorganize. One thing goes in the box. And just because I have some of these blessings, and Colleen now and I, we both know, we've never done anything ourselves that has ever been of anything significant. We've had to do it by a team. So 3 years ago, right before the Super Bowl service, when you heard Mark Stetcher talk about One City, I said, "That's it. Let's do something. I'll use some of this media crap, this celebrity thing that I am. Let's help the poor and the homeless in Cincinnati." We started the Brad Johansson Celebrity Golf Classic. And we said, "Brian, maybe I can raise $20,000 for Mark and the cause." We raised $110,000. And then we decided to do it the next year. and we raised $190,000. And in 2 years, we've raised $300,000 for the poor and the homeless and fed other charities, seeding people in this city for change. Yeah. We're doing it again this year. Not because of us, but because of you. The change comes because we are a team. You may ask God, how can I be helpful? He will respond to you, ask that of the person next to you, and then the person next to them, and then the person next to them. Because we may be in some of these blessings doesn't mean that I'm not experiencing the blahs, or having to go through the break, or having to go through the blues. The journey is endless, but the journey only works if you put the right thing in the box.
At 7, and that's the ball game.
Hey, let me pray for you right now, okay? God, it is great to see what you've done in life, like Brad's. I'm just sitting here, and I know stories behind stories, and ups that he wasn't able to share, and lows that he wasn't able to share because of time. And it's a story that I know is happening with many people in here and can happen with many more people. That's what we're hoping, and that's what we're asking takes root when we leave this building today. Thanks, God, for being patient. Amen. Okay, hey, a couple things, house cleaning things before we leave. There's this thing that we do every year around here. It's called a journey, where we get the whole church as a team, and we study something, and we learn something, and we foster the ability to have a interaction with God in your own home, aside from the weekend services, and also get people into small group experiences. It's 6 weeks. It's middle of February to end of March. You can do that. If you've never done it before, if it's your first day here, you can still do that. It's going to be awesome. It's one of those examples, if you want to change. And this is about kingdom. What does Jesus mean when he keeps talking about kingdom of God? If you want change, sometimes you got to take steps. You got to get out of the blahs. You got to break from your old habits and for 6 weeks try something. You can go out in the atrium and get some information on it at the kingdom kiosk. You can also go to a kingdomexperiment.com. This one's if you want to come to the next level, Wednesday night at 7. We're going to talk a little bit more about that and pray about that. It's going to be pretty cool. A couple other housekeeping things. You know, I was just sitting here struck by how great of a sport Brian Wells is with all the fun we poke at him. Let's thank Mr. Wells up there for showing us. You know what I mean? Honestly, we didn't do this to any other services. We poke continual fun at you. And that, you know, I want to have more of that attitude of just being confident in who I am and allowing people to have fun with me. So thanks. That's
okay, awesome. Well, we'll keep you to that.
And as we take off out of here, two other things. There's an info session on Africa. If you're here going, I'm wondering what the whole Africa thing is. Go across the atrium and they're going to talk about that. And go get your kids fast from Kids Club right now. And thank those workers for working their noogies off today. Bye. See you later. Sure had a lot of fun out here today, but one thing we talked about wasn't funny. Menopause.
Yo, menopause is a serious condition affecting over 10 million men in the United States, 15 million men in Canada, 4 players in Spain, and the entire nation of France alone.
It's time the silent masses were given a voice.
A voice that speaks for all men.
A voice that cares deeply.
A voice with a distinctly manly pitch, lower than Death Valley, with thick expanses of manly chest hair tangled into tiny knots. A voice like mine.
Think you or someone you know may be suffering from menopause? Well, then call our hotline today and join your voice with thousands of other voices who want to see men be men again.
If you ever experience the following symptoms, extreme dry mouth, extreme wet mouth, extreme use of hair products, or an uncontrollable urge to watch Meg Ryan movies, you may be experiencing menopause.
But you don't have to continue suffering.
Join the fight against menopause today and receive your free camouflage pin. For less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can support the ongoing research to find a permanent cure for menopause.
No, 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 it can't be. It can't be over, man. No, we can't. No. Okay, well, sorry for the inconvenience, y'all. And I have to tell you this, it's time to go. Yay!
Jumanji!